everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation, from local news to what's going around around Wisconsin and the national spotlight. We've got you covered. You can subscribe to our newsletter today at civicmedia.us/email. Go check that out. And every day you'll get our newsletter in your email inbox, keeping you up to date on what is most important to you and yours. It's Wednesday. It's 2:30. And that means it sounds like change with Emily's List. Today, I've got special guest Christina Reynolds. She's the Senior Vice President of Communications and Content for Emily's List. We're going to talk a little bit about this DNC chair race that is going on, which is one of these things, Christina, that is kind of, you know, like the inside baseball of political parties and a little wonky. I can't hear Christina, by the way, Cardi. A little wonky. And there's three or four different candidates. And so you've worked within the DNC apparatus, Christina. And I just thought, help us set the stage. Like, what does the DNC do?
Sure.
What are the chair's responsibilities? They elect these people. Who's voting on them? All that good stuff, so people understand the context of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so the DNC is the Democratic National Committee. It is an organization that is responsible. I think their biggest and sort of most splashy responsibility is the primary calendar, and for the presidential. So that's obviously an important thing. But they serve as the political arm of the White House when Democrats hold the White House. And when Democrats don't, they serve as a certainly voice and political arm of the opposition, right? Of the fighting back of the resistance or whatever, you know, 2.0, whatever we're going to call it. It's interesting, you know, I worked there, many, many years ago.
That's fine. That's how I do it. I worked someplace before. Someplace, I don't need to say how long or what.
Yeah, that's right. I worked there at a time when Democrats had the White House for a while, and then we didn't. And so saw the difference in those two things. And I also worked there at a time that was long enough ago that really the DNC was one of the only voices against, you know, and that sort of the largest voice outside of elected officials. Not the only, but one of the largest, certainly, voices against the Republican White House. And what I can say now is there are certainly, we've seen a lot more groups come up. We've seen a lot of different voices. And so that is still an important role, but they are not the only people doing that. And I think that's important because Democrats are not a monolith.
Right.
The opposition to Trump is not a monolith, right?
Yes.
There are a lot of different voices. There are a lot of different issues. It's nice to have people talking about the different issues, but it is important. It is also important because they can help fund state parties. And, you know,
can I just ask a question about that?
Yes,
so are the state parties run separate and apart from the DNC, though they are affiliates? Like, how does that work? Do they each have their own governance structures? How does
That's
it all
a good
work
question.
Together?
And I don't want to get myself in trouble with any lawyers out there of exactly how it works.
Well, I'll give you a papal dispensation to get it mostly right, Christina.
You.
Yes.
Each state party operates on its own, but they also operate within the DNC system. So there is what's called the ASDC, which is the Association of State Democratic Chairs. That's one group that is sort of a part of the bigger party apparatus. The parties often, they get funding from campaigns, they get funding from presidential campaigns, they get funding from the DNC, and they raise their own money.
Yep.
And they do their own things. And so it's a little mix of both. You and I both live in states with very active state parties.
Yes.
You know, we've seen this in Wisconsin. We've seen in certainly, I live in North Carolina. We have the youngest state party chair.
Yes. I've seen her interviewed a number of
times. And exhausts me in the best possible way. She is a phenomenal organizer and has done phenomenal work. What's interesting, and one of the things that Anderson has brought up, is for many state parties, they're either not paid positions or they're not paid full time, which when you think about the work that they have to do, yeah, that's crazy.
Insane. Right? Yes. So let me just ask you this. How important is the Democratic National Committee chairpersonship, and why is it so critical at this juncture?
Well, I think one of the reasons that I think it's important. I think, you know, is it as important as the presidential election? No.
Right.
But is it an important role? Yes. And one of the reasons for that is that right now there's not one voice that really speaks the loudest for the party. We lost our biggest bully pulpit when we lose the White House.
Yes.
And so then you have legislative leaders, you have Hakeem Jeffries and you have Chuck Schumer, right? You have governors. But they have, they have their work to do on trying to get things through. They sometimes will try and pass bipartisan bills or try and work with Republicans.
Their actual jobs,
yes. Right? And those can get into nitty-gritty of policy, incredibly important jobs, but not just the politics, right? And so that's why you want to make sure that you get someone in there who can be a good voice for the party, who can raise a lot of money. The unfortunate thing is that politics is driven, you know, a lot. It costs money to do this stuff, right? It costs money. And however you think politics should be done, if you think it's TV ads, if you think it's digital, if you think it's field organizers, and I personally think it's all of the above and then some, all of that costs money. And so being able, for example, to pay organizers to have a constant field program, being able to continue to pay communicators, to talk to people, right? And to go on all those podcasts or get people ready to pitch those, all of those things.
So for a layperson, would it be fair to say the DNC chair helps consolidate the message for the Democratic Party, especially if the Democratic Party is not in power in the White House, and then helps with fundraising and then all of the different levels of political campaign operations as the next election cycles come up? And frankly, when it comes to fundraising, helps make some prioritization decisions about how much and which races get the biggest priority funding. Is that part of their job as well?
I would say in your list of four things, yes, definitely to the middle two. Yes, okay. To fundraising, very important. Yes, to campaigning and how you
the
do
mechanics.
That.
Yep,
the mechanics, 100%. In terms of the messaging, they play a role. As I mentioned, we're not a monolith. You know, it's the old, I think it's the Will Rogers adage, right? I don't belong to an organized party. I'm a Democrat.
Right.
We have a lot of views and a lot of opinions. It is truly a big tent. And so that's not to say that whoever wins this race is going to decide what everyone is saying. They will, however, be able, they have a big, you know, their own bully pulpit to offer messaging, to offer their views, right? And to offer some guidance to people. So it's important, but it's not the only place that will do that.
And this is, to me, is what is so unique about this particular chairperson's race, because the main self analysis point post-election, right, is clarity of message. And we have always been the party that advances the interests of working people in the middle class. And yet many working people and the middle class don't know that. So how do we make that clear that these are the things that we very, very plainly and historically have stood for, and then moving that agenda forward? And I think, you know, the skill level simply from a raw communications perspective of whomever that next chair is going to be, in my view, Christina, is going to be really important, because the main critique, however we frame it, right, is Dems got the message wrong. I said the day after the election, it's not our values. It's not what we're trying to get done. It's the way the message was packaged and delivered, and frankly, how strongly we stayed true to the like core principles and got less pulled into the sort of periphery, if you will. Do you agree that like it's this is really important from a DNC chair perspective because of the moment and the results of this past election and what mostly has been diagnosed as the issue?
I'll tell you, well, I'm not sure I agree that's necessarily, I think a part of the issue is mechanics. I think a part of the issue, because I think there's the, if we believe in our values, then part of our challenge was that, and I think we do, and I think what polling shows is that voters do as well.
Correct.
And so part of the challenge was, did we reach the right people in the right way with that?
Yes.
With those guys.
Yes.
And that to me is a lot of that, not all of that. Some of that is messaging and some of that is mechanics.
Mechanics. Heard.
So I do think that's part of why, and I think it's why a lot of what the race has hinged on so far, a lot of the conversation around it has been mechanics.
Yes.
What do you value? Where are you going to put your money? How are you going to raise that money? You know, do you think state parties are important? Do you want a 50-state strategy, which Howard Dean was,
yes,
you know,
every race and every state and every cycle, is it that, or is it something more prioritized and surgical?
Or,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's interesting that you make this distinction, right, between what the message actually is, clarity, saliency, and the mechanics, because in my brain, Christina, I sort of conflate it, which is inaccurate and is sloppy, right, because you really have to talk about them separately. But to me, message only matters if the mechanics get it to the masses that you need to hear it, right? And it's
right,
like,
yes,
you can be right on point, but if nobody's listening, it's the
nobody's hearing it.
Right.
That's right. Or if they don't believe it, so
yes,
messages matter.
Yes,
right?
Both, right?
Yes.
Delivery,
yes,
and content, yes.
Yes, 100%.
So who's running for DNC chair, just so people have an idea of who the candidates tend to be?
Sure. And I think there are a few different candidates still putting their hats in the ring. The deadline has not passed. I don't know that there's an official deadline, but there's still the opportunity for people to get in. What we know of so far is Martin O'Malley, former governor of Maryland, former presidential candidate. Ken Martin, who is the chair of the DFL in Minnesota. Ben Wickler, your chair there in Wisconsin. And I do not know how to pronounce the other gentleman's name. There are at least two other people running. There's a man named Nate Snyder who just announced that he was running. He's a former organizer.
You've hit the top three, like the main folks are the former governor, right, from Maryland.
O'Malley, yep. Martin, and Wickler.
Yep.
Yes. I, you know, Maggie, I'd be remiss because
yes,
I do work for Emily's List in
please,
noting what you have not heard is any women. And that bums me out.
Well, Christina, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, there you go. Quit me.
Well, and that is, you know, as I look at party leadership and certainly the North Carolina Dem Party chair, I listened to her bunch. Very inspiring to see someone so young, not just elevated to that leadership position, but really doing great work in North Carolina. Certainly one of the things as I look around the state of Wisconsin, I get concerned about the fact that I haven't seen a lot of executive level, top level leaders, leadership positions filled by women. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. I might even have a little bit of sound from Mr. Wickler on The Daily Show this week because it was a great interview. I'd love to get your reactions. I'm with Christina Reynolds. She's the SVP for Communications and Content at Emily's List. You want to hear Wisconsin's very own Ben Wickler on The Jon Stewart Daily Show? Keep it locked. We're going to take that sound and talk about where are all the women in this after these brief messages.
This is where I